This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Joyful, joyful.
You're in the Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9 with the
priest,
the pom,
and the poof.
This is the show where we talk about spirituality and sexuality for our community.
You are on the Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9. Now, Priest and Pom have vacated the studio. They're off gallivanting somewhere, I'm sure. So you're stuck with me, Andrew, the poof. Welcome to our very special Christmas edition. I am looking forward to hearing how you're spending your Christmas. And we're catching up with some of our favourite guests that we've spoken to over the last couple of months to find out how they're spending their Christmas. Now, let's kick it off with a bit of Francesca Battistelli.
Joy 94.9.
You're on Joy 94.9. You're in the Spirit Lounge with Andrew. Keep me company. Send me a text message, 0427-JOY949. Tonight we're talking about what is it that you do at Christmas? Where are you? What's happening? And looking forward into the new year, what hopes do you have for the future? Now, we've asked some of our favourite guests from the last year about where they're heading in the new year and what they do at Christmas. So we've got Stuart Etzett coming up first. He caught up with us about a week ago. Welcome back to the show, Stuart Etzett, our favourite author of a book called Being Gay, Being Christian, and also author of quite an active blog, I hear, Stuart.
That's right, Andrew. It's great to be back.
When you started out this year, did you imagine that being gay, being Christian would get as much attention as it has gotten in the last year?
Well, I really wasn't sure, but I can tell you I did know that a lot of people were interested, a lot of gay people, a lot of church people, even a lot of straight people. So I knew that there was a large level of interest out there. So I was really hopeful that the book might be, you know, sort of widely taken up and read and discussed, and it seems to have come true. That's what's happened. So it's been quite wonderful.
And have you had lots of discussions on your blog?
No, my blog is more of a place where I post what I hope are interesting little pieces about some of the major issues in the book and that's kind of spring from the whole being gay, being Christian stuff. So I don't get a lot of like kind of back and forth stuff there. I do get some of that on Facebook. But my blog, look, it's almost up to 5,000 views now. I'm just working on a post at the moment, which should be going up fairly soon, and I think that'll truly take it across 5,000. So a lot of people read it in the States, in Russia, of all places, in the UK, in New Zealand, all over the world, as a matter of fact. So it's pretty amazing to think that people are reading me from right across the planet.
Well, and it's such a contentious issue as well, such a contentious topic that people are just genuinely interested to hear how people think about things and the theology behind it, and well-reasoned arguments.
Well, thank you for saying that. I'm wanting to try and make it a little less contentious, really, by talking, you know, scientifically and in a kind of a scholarly fashion about what science and theology and modern biblical studies can say about a person being gay and a person having a Christian faith. So the two are certainly not mutually exclusive. And even though there's a bit of pushback from some fundamentalist people, I'm continuing to try to get the message out there.
Fantastic. And being gay and being Christian, Christmas time is such an important festival on the Christian calendar. How do you plan to spend this special time?
All right. Well, this is a little bit of a sad time for us. I lost my father on Christmas Day, no less, last year. So we're coming up for his first anniversary. So I will be spending my day with my mother and my family. Definitely will be thinking about my dad and his place in our lives and his wonderful acceptance of me and my partner. So that will be Christmas, and then after that I'll be off on a break somewhere, hopefully a road trip, I'm thinking.
Oh.
Yeah, it sounds good.
It is good to take that extra time just to reflect over the Christmas period.
Absolutely it is.
We interviewed somebody on the show a couple of weeks ago who was doing a special reflective event for if you had lost someone. So,
okay.
Yeah, it's certainly on the radar.
Yeah, look, it is for a lot of people, and, you know, some of my clients as well are in the same position. So it can be a difficult time for some people when we've lost loved ones, but you know, Christmas has traditionally always been a time for family, so it's great to get together with everyone. And on Christmas Day, we will certainly be remembering Dad and all the wonderful times that we had with him.
And what about New Year's? You mentioned you might be on a road trip. Do you make New Year's resolutions?
Well, no, I don't, and I generally counsel people not to. I think New Year's resolutions are a little bit of a kind of a fly-by-nighter. I much prefer to take a bit of a stocktake at New Year's Eve and around New Year's, and I think that's a really valid thing to do. So I like to think back over the previous year and what I got right and what I got wrong, and then kind of extrapolate that into the brand new year and see where I want to go and what kind of little changes I want to make and see if I can improve life, make it a little bit easier and a little bit happier, and a little less challenging, which, you know, life can get for all of us, and, you know, see if I can do that. So I tend to do that round about Christmas Eve each year.
I think that's a fantastic, fantastic alternative to making New Year's resolutions.
Well, thank you.
And for 2013, the year ahead, are there any special plans for perhaps some more authorship?
Well, I've got to keep things under wraps, but yes, I am working on a new book.
Fantastic.
So you heard it here first.
You have a standing invitation to come back to the Spirit Lounge and
that'd be lovely.
Talk to us about the book.
Well, I'm coming to Melbourne at the end of February, actually, so we'll have to catch up.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us on the Spirit Lounge, Stuart Edser.
That's my pleasure. Yeah, God bless, and thank you to everyone.
Joy 94.9.
You are on Joy 94.9. You're in the Spirit Lounge with Andrew the Poof today. Now, today is Christmas Day, biggest festival of the year on the Christian calendar. And we're catching up with some of our favourite guests from the year just gone to find out how they've spent Christmas with their circle of friends. Now, our next guest is Michelle Kolev, who is the leader of Freedom to Be Melbourne. And we catch up with how she is going to spend Christmas with her family.
We continue our series tonight on Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9 of catching up with people that we've met or chatted to during the year. And we had a very big date in October with Michelle and Linda from Freedom to Be, because we did our first joint outside broadcast called Freedom of Spirit. Welcome. Good evening.
Good evening. How are you both?
We're lovely. Thank you. Good to have you on the show again. You're becoming a regular.
I am a little bit, aren't I?
Now, we haven't caught up for a couple of months, and last time was quite a big night, wasn't it, for a couple of hours?
It was. We had a fantastic night.
And so how, post the outside broadcast and all your fantastic members that were willing to share their story with all of our listeners, what's the feedback been?
Oh, look, the positive feedback has just been outstanding, actually, from not just everyone that was in the audience, but also those that participated. Some of them had never done anything like that before, and they just loved it. They all left on a really big high.
It was very buzzy that night, wasn't it, in Freedom to Be?
It was fantastic.
Yeah, oh, that's really good. So what were the highs for you guys at Freedom to Be for 2012?
Well, we had a really big year, actually, this year. We had great participation in Pride March, which was earlier in the year, of course, and that was our fourth time marching.
Uh-huh.
And we also celebrated our fifth anniversary for Melbourne.
Congratulations.
It was terrific. We had a fantastic night with awards and celebration, which was attended by about 60 people.
Super.
The other great thing that we had happen this year was in early September, I went over to Perth to launch one of our new chapters over there, which was very exciting because we had about 45 or so come out for that. And Perth has been a long time in the planning, so we're really grateful to the new team over there.
That's excellent. How many chapters does Freedom to Be have in Australia now?
We've got four, Brisbane, Sydney, Melbourne, and now Perth.
Any more, do you think, in the pipeline for 2013?
Well, I'm not sure about 2013. We've certainly always got people interested, but it makes, you know, it takes a little bit of time to make sure that the planning is right and we've got the right people taking over, because we don't want to start something up and not see it succeed.
Is it always in a capital city, or would you consider expanding into like a regional area?
Well, absolutely, into a regional area would be fantastic, but again, it's people kind of putting their hand up and saying, you know, this is something that I want to commit to. So, of course, if anybody is out there and they're aware of who Freedom to Be is, please get in contact with us and we can certainly talk about it.
I would imagine you need to focus on sort of where the critical mass of people are, really. That kind of makes economical sense, doesn't it?
Well, it does, but because we are a volunteer organisation, it really is just about people being dedicated to, you know, being there, being part of the support network for people to be able to contact and gather with. So it really shouldn't matter where it is.
Mm. Well, you've had a busy year, haven't you? So how are you and Linda going to spend Christmas with all the family then?
Well, we've actually had our Christmas break up for Freedom to Be already, but Linda and I are just going to be having a quiet Christmas away with our children down at the beach.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it'll be good to get away.
And will you be at the beach for New Year's? I remember when I was a kid, watching the fireworks over the water was just the best thing. I looked forward to that every New Year's.
Well, we're not really sure where we're going to be spending New Year's as yet. I'd certainly love to be down by the beach somewhere, but we'll see if we can manage it.
Do you make resolutions at New Year's?
I do, yes.
And do you stick to them?
I sense that perhaps other people in your family don't.
Oh, look, I try to, and I was actually thinking about that, and I suppose my New Year's resolution is stop procrastinating.
That's quite a good one. Let me know how you go with that one.
Yeah, I just want to make a decision to do something and actually see it through to completion.
You don't strike me as a procrastinator, I have to say.
Oh, look, I might be busy, but sometimes I don't get everything done I want to.
We shove things to the back, don't we, that we don't want to do.
Yeah.
And what about for 2013? Do you have any grand plans on the drawing board?
Personal or Freedom to Be?
Well, as far as Freedom to Be plans, we're having a presence at Midsummer, and of course we're marching at both Pride and Mardi Gras again.
Fabulous.
Which is exciting. And we start up our meetings again in February, back at the Cades on the third Friday in Feb. But we do have something quite exciting for our March meeting. We've got the author of Love is an Orientation, Andrew Marin, who's coming from the US for our March meeting. And he's a married Christian man who works in the gay ghettos of Chicago. So we're looking forward to a great start to the year with him.
Wow, that sounds fantastic. You will be coming back on the show to tell us more about that.
Absolutely. No,
I think you'll be bringing Andrew with you.
Yeah, well, that'd be terrific.
Good. Well, we wish you all a very Merry Christmas and New Year.
Absolutely. And thank you, Joy, so much for all of your support throughout the year. We really love and appreciate you guys.
Joy 94.9.
So we're joined on the phone now by Matt Glover, who, of course, is our favourite reverend and now is running a counselling service. Matt, welcome back to the Spirit Lounge.
Thank you, Andrew. Good to be here again.
Now, we're catching up with all of our favourite guests, and we would like to know what has been your highlights from 2012 and if you've got any lowlights.
Sure. And look, I assume by highlights you're meaning anything apart from the times that I appeared on Joy?
Yeah, naturally.
Okay, go
naturally. Apart from the times you were on Joy or in the newspaper, you know, or getting a party thrown for you at a gay venue.
Yeah. Certainly the lows were right at the very beginning of the year. You might remember that it was this time last year that everything went pear-shaped for me at the church, you know, because of my support for marriage equality and my pastoral work within the gay community. And it all came out of nowhere this time last year, and it was a really traumatic time because, you know, what I thought I was going to be doing for the rest of my life was suddenly not an option anymore. And what was I going to do next? You know, that was hard. And so January was a really fairly dark time of wandering through a thick fog, not quite sure what the rest of the year was going to be. So it was tough times. But then at the same time, some of the highlights happened then as well as I look back. And, you know, we joked before about the party being thrown. When it all went bad and it did hit the press, the gay community from around the world were really supportive. I was getting letters and emails and all sorts of things, gifts from people I didn't know. And, of course, it all culminated with the party, well, the benefit that the gay community here in Melbourne threw for me at DT's Hotel. And it was just an incredible experience to be there with such a diverse group of people, you know, all of my different worlds coming together. And certainly looking back, that time together, the sharing of that experience and realising that I don't actually walk alone through this, that there are people walking with me, and the people that I had walked with were now saying, look, you've cared for us, now it's our turn to care for you. Just such a humbling experience, but one of those really memorable occasions that I'm not ever going to forget.
And everyone has periods in their life where they feel that they're going through a very dark time. Was there anything that you discovered when you were travelling through this dark time that was really helpful for you?
Look, it was, I guess, being able to step out of where I had been and the world that I'd inhabited for so long. You know, it wasn't so much a choice that I made to step out of that world. It was forced upon me. But in doing that, and even though it was walking through the fog for a little while, I actually experienced a whole new side of life that I hadn't seen before, that other people experienced all the time because they were same-sex attracted or intersex or whatever. And so I became more a part of the world of the people that I'd been caring for. And, you know, that was a really, again, another humbling experience, but such an enriching experience too, and something that, you know, I'm still very grateful for.
Now, it's Christmas time this year. It's a year after. How are you planning to spend this Christmas? How do things look for you right now?
Well, I don't have to take any Christmas services, so that is awesome. look, family's a big thing for us at Christmas, and we alternate Christmas days between my family and my wife's family. So this year it's my family that we'll spend Christmas Day with, my sister and her family and my mum and dad. And a couple of days before Christmas we'll be with my wife's family. And it's just good to be together. You know, all of my siblings and my wife's siblings have young kids like we do. And it's just good to share that excitement with the kids about Christmas and the time together and, again, reflecting on life and how things have changed and all that sort of stuff. So that's what we're looking forward to the most, just that time together.
Now, also coming up is the new year. Some mm-hmm. people make New Year's resolutions. Some people don't make New Year's resolutions. Which side of the camp do you fall onto?
Oh, look, mate, I make New Year's resolutions all year. I don't just keep them for New Year's Day. They keep happening all year because I keep breaking them. So, you know, I might make a few, but they're never really that serious. You know, there's always the standard ones. Oh, I should lose some weight, or I should do more exercise, all that sort of stuff. But that'll go out the window by the end of the first week.
It's a bad time of year to make those resolutions.
Oh, it is, isn't
when
it?
When there's a Christmas ham in front of you, I'm not really sure that's the best time to be promising yourself you're going to be thin.
That's it, yeah. So look, I might leave that one. Winter. I'll make a New Year's resolution in July.
So you can make your New Year's resolutions. You reserve the right to make your New Year's resolutions at any time during the new year.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's a good idea.
Well, it's not written anywhere, as far as I know, that it has to be on the first.
It's written in tradition.
Yeah.
Now, looking forward into 2013, do you have any big plans on the horizon?
Well, look, as you mentioned at the start there, I've started up a counselling practice that serves the gay and lesbian community of Melbourne and Australia as well. We do things by Skype for those that are not Melbourne-based. And I'm really looking forward to, you know, really getting stuck into that. We've been operating a couple of days a week from October, I think we started. And looking forward to getting our teeth stuck into that a little bit more, getting some other counsellors on board as well.
Fantastic. And are you listed on Google? Do you just type in Matt Glover and it comes up?
You can do that, or you can just type in the counselling service name, which is MGA Counselling Services. MGA standing for Matt Glover and Associates.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us again on the Spirit Lounge, Matt. It's always a great pleasure to speak with you.
Great to be here, Andrew. Thanks for the invite.
Joy 94.9.
You are on Joy 94.9. You're on the Spirit Lounge. And for Christmas, we've been hearing from some of our regular guests that we hear from quite regularly about what they've got planned for the new year, what they're doing at Christmas. And we'd love to hear what you're doing this Christmas. Send me a text in 0427JOY949, or you can email onair@joy.org.au. Just let me know, what have you been up to? What's happening in your world? Now we're going to listen to another track. This one's by Matthew West and Amy Grant. This is called Give This Christmas Away.
Joy 94.9.
So as part of our series of catching up with the guests that we've had the pleasure of interviewing during 2012, we are talking once again to Benjamin Law, who is the author of a wonderful book called Gaysia, and I can now say wonderful wholeheartedly because I've actually read it. Welcome back, Ben.
Thanks for having me.
And we were just offline there talking about not only your brilliant stories about the colourful people that you met, but also the colourful foods that your system either loved or hated, huh?
Oh, yeah. The food that I put into one orifice and would come out violently out another. I mean, as I was saying before offline, even though I've written this book called Gaysia, which is about different gay identities throughout Asia, there's probably a parallel book I could have written, which was This Is How Sick You Can Get While Travelling Through Asia Writing a Book. And I mentioned it in a few spots in the book, but I sort of think, you know, those books about how sick you can get, they've been written, so I thought I'd leave a lot of it to myself. But, oh, yeah.
What was
illness galore.
What was the one thing that you learnt to leave alone? Was it the water, or was it... What was the one thing you learned in terms of eating and drinking during that tour?
Oh, this is probably going to sound really gross, but, you know, in India, most people don't use toilet paper. It's a water-based society. You wash down there. Mm. And so I thought while I was traveling that I would do the same. But I think there's a certain technique. And if you are not a local... maybe you shouldn't try, because there might be consequences. I'm just leaving so many blanks there, because your imagination where it takes you is far more worse than anything I could say.
That's enough information. So how are your book sales going on Gaysia then?
I think they're going really well. I mean, I've done back-to-back launches. I mean, it's only now in, where are we now, in December, that I've stopped doing events related to the book. So since it came out in September, it's been non-stop events. And when we were publishing the book, we knew that we'd get a queer audience, and that's always who we were gunning for, of course. But one of the really heartening things has been mainstream reaction to the book, and not just the press. I mean, it got a really great write-up in The Australian, for instance, and in other newspapers. But also, I'll go to library events, and of course I expect, you know, queer men and women to be there talking about the book, but a lot of the times I'll do a library event out in the suburbs, and it's like heterosexual women coming for their book club, for instance. So I love that even though it's such a queer book with such queer subject matter, a lot of non-queer people are reading it as well as an adventure book, which is great. It's exactly what we wanted.
That's great. Hopefully we're broadening the minds of the general public in Australia.
That's right. That's right. I don't think people are seeing, you know, reading this book as outside of their experience or anything, you know, to be worried about or anything like that. I think they just see a book about different people and different cultures, and that's what they're aiming to read about.
So obviously the success of your book has been a great high for this year, for 2012. Do you have any lows that you'd like to share with us?
Oh, lows. I think...
being sick while you were travelling.
You know, I think the highs actually come coupled with the lows. And just to give you an example, like when the book first came out and we were doing a lot of promotion for it, back-to-back events, which is really great because that's exactly what you want when you release a book. The other thing is whether your body can handle that. So I remembered at the Brisbane Writers Festival, I was pretty much on every day of the festival, and it culminated in me having to do a great debate against Bob Catter and Jermaine Greer about theology and the Bible in front of a crowd in the concert hall, like in front of, I think, over 1,000 people. And by that stage, because I'd been talking so much, because, hey, I like talking, but because my book had just come out, it was festival season, my throat was just, it was like Wolverine had taken to the back of my throat. So I got really, really sick during those really important moments as well. So you're up on stage, you feel like your head is about to implode with, you know, sinus problems. God, we're talking a lot about illness, aren't we?
We are.
I might sound very fragile with my immune system.
So talking of food, so how are you going to celebrate Christmas?
Well, this is very wholesome, actually, almost repulsively wholesome. But for Christmases lately, my boyfriend's family and my family actually join up.
Fantastic.
So I've got a really big family. I'm one of five kids, whereas my boyfriend has a super small family. It's just basically him and his mum. And his mum's a mad cook, and so we pool in all our resources and we have a sort of joint family extravaganza.
That sounds wonderful. Can we come?
Yeah, of course, there's plenty of room at the table.
And do you, now I don't personally do anything to this next question, but, you know, some people make these New Year resolutions, which I think are stupid because I break them within a day. But do you make them and do you keep them?
Oh, I would fantasize about making them. Like I'll see a French film or something and I'll be like, I should learn French in 2013, or I'll have a stunted conversation with someone in Cantonese, and I understand Cantonese, but my spoken Cantonese is very bad, so I think I'll learn Cantonese properly in 2013. It never happens. Or my boyfriend's a pianist. I'll learn piano in 2013. It never happens. I think the one thing I want to do is something achievable, which is to spend a bit more time away from the desk. It sounds achievable on paper, doesn't it? But whether it is achievable is yet to be seen.
Well, actually, it is, because I've spent the last 2 years less at my desk than ever before.
Really? So what did you do? What was your approach?
Just lifestyle change, moving here, changed jobs and changed countries and changed houses and everything, changed lifestyles. So that was it was a big move, but it is doable. And you, and I'm probably a lot older than you, my darling, but physically and health-wise, feel a hell of a lot better, because we should all really have active jobs and not sit in front of a computer.
Yeah, so you're telling me to move out of the country. That's what I heard. I'll move out of the country.
I'm not telling you.
Sounds like you're kind of half doing that with your travels anyway. So for 2013, do you have any big plans on the horizon? I know last time that we spoke to you, you mentioned that there were whispers of another book on the horizon.
Yeah. Yeah, that's still whispers. Nothing's been confirmed yet. But what I can confirm is that we're developing the first book that I wrote, The Family Law, which is like a black comedy memoir about growing up Asian and gay on the Sunshine Coast in the 90s. That's being developed into television at the moment. So we're working on that right now with Matchbox Pictures, the people who brought Christos Tsokas's The Slap to TV.
How exciting!
So it's a really great team.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. So that's a lot of the reason why I'm at the desk at the moment, chained to the desk, unable to move. We're working on developing the screenplays for that.
Wow. And so that is that going to be a film, or is that going to be a series? Or
We're working on a six-part comedy series at the moment for TV.
Well, congratulations. We'll look forward to seeing that.
Yeah, so do I. It means that the writing will be over.
Great. Ben, it's been fantastic to talk to you again. We'd like to wish you a very Merry Christmas from everyone at Spirit Lounge and Joy Radio.
And same right back to you guys.
And you keep in touch, and hopefully we'll see you next year.
Joy 94.9.
You're on Joy 94.9 in the Spirit Lounge. Now, I have to scurry out of the studio because we've got Catching Up coming up just next. I might leave you with a lovely, lovely Christmas track, though. It's from Brandon Heath. It's called The Night Before Christmas.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.